If you'd please take your Bibles back over to the Gospel of Matthew this morning. The Gospel of Matthew. As we continue in the light of the risen Christ. This is part two of last week's message. As we follow the Easter season, as we celebrated the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure thankful that we do serve a risen Savior. And you know what? That makes all the difference in the world. And we need to live in light of that reality. And we have a risen Savior who will one day, soon, return. These are the last words that Jesus spoke to us before he bodily ascended back to heaven. And in Matthew 28, we read here a few words, which I'll read again, some of them, beginning in verse 18. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We saw last week of how Christ gave us a very important commission to go into all the world, to preach the gospel, to teach the gospel. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, records the scenario here in verse 15. It says, And Jesus said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Preach the gospel to every creature. God wants us to go and tell. To go and tell. God wants us to be willing to go wherever he leads. That we would follow Christ. The commission that God gave to his disciples is the commission God's given to us as his church. We are to go. That's why we have missionaries like Brother Thomas Duran. Brother Duran has surrendered his life to serve the Lord. He has surrendered to go and tell to the uttermost parts of the earth. And we can have a part in helping him through prayer, which is critical. To pray. Brethren, pray for us, the Apostle Paul wrote as he went on missionary outreaches. Brethren, pray for us that the Word of God may have free course, right? And other things he mentioned there as well. But we need to pray for our missionaries. Miss Cheryl is finished in the Philippines, has finished her, the fifth week of Vacation Bible School. And two more weeks to go. A lot of children, as well as their parents, are learning about the Lord Jesus Christ in the Philippines. Some remote villages, some little corners on the edge of the earth. And so pray for her. Two more weeks beginning here. I'm not sure whether she's beginning one. Probably it would be in our today. She'll be beginning the sixth Vacation Bible School there. So let's be in prayer for her as well. Obviously, supporting through financial means. This is God's will that we would contribute to be a help, be a blessing, so that others can go. But that doesn't mean we should not tell, that we should not go and tell. We need to do God's will. God's will is multifaceted in how we support the propagation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we need to have hearts in tune with God's plan to reach the world for Christ. He told us in the book of Acts, told the disciples that they needed to be a witness in Jerusalem. That was the city where they were, in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria. Those were the provinces of, such as for us, could be North Dakota and South Dakota or something like that, North Dakota, Minnesota. The regions that are relatively close to us. And so our own city, our own local city, but also the regions extended. And Jesus said, to the uttermost part of the earth. God's desire to get the gospel out. And so his commission, we need to continue in light of the risen Christ. He commissioned us to get the message out. Secondly, we saw last week, we need to continue in his power. Jesus said here, he said, all power is given unto me. Go ye therefore, right? Go ye therefore. We must have the power of God in our life. He told the disciples in the book of Acts chapter 1 to wait for the Holy Spirit to come, to wait for the power of God so that they could be an effective witness. God wants us to have his power. He also wants us to recognize his presence. We don't go alone. If you're a follower of Christ, if you know Jesus, the Holy Spirit goes with you. As the songwriter said, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. And you know what? He does go with us. He goes with us to school. He goes with us to work. He knows the challenges we face. Let's be a faithful witness wherever we are, in our home, in our school, in our church, in our community. His presence goes with us. Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In fact, I want to go over here. I know we reviewed this last week, or we had this last week. I'm just reviewing a little bit. But let's go to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. And let's look at verse 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, verse 5. The Bible says, Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, now would you read with me, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my help. The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Is God your helper? If you know Christ, he is. He is your helper. Sometimes we don't give as much attention to the presence of God in our life. God wants to work. God wants to work in us. God wants to work through us. And so let's continue in his presence. Notice also number 4, continue in his holiness and love. Continue in his holiness and love. God has called us unto holiness. To be holy means to be separate from that which is sinful, separate from that which is wicked. God doesn't want our lives plagued with sin and wickedness and disobedience and rebellion. He wants our lives to be God-honoring, that we'd walk in purity and holiness, both in thought and action. Holiness. And this is something God does in us. Remember the song we sang? I believe it was the last one. Whiter than snow. Lord, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. You know what? It's Jesus that washes our sin away. When we trust Christ as our Savior, he washes our sin away. As a child of God, we need those times of getting right with God, getting things taken care of, keeping our fellowship with God right. Being a vessel that he can use. And so God wants us to continue in his holiness. In his holiness. Jesus Christ came that we might be freed from sin, that we might live unto God. And so he calls us to that. He calls us in love as well, to love others, to love him. And so Jesus talked about how the grand marquee of Christianity, of his true followers, would be the love that they have. Is that love seen in your life? I want you to consider, fifthly, we need to continue through adversity. Continue through adversity. In the Gospel of John, if you'll swing over there to the Gospel of John and chapter 16. verse 33. John 16, verse 33. Notice what the Bible says. Notice what Jesus speaks. John 16, verse 33. And these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. God reminds us that in the world we are going to face difficulty, tribulations. But he says, in me ye can have peace. In me ye can have peace. We need to continue in light of the risen Christ, in the commission he's given us, in his power, in his presence, in his holiness and his love, continue through adversity. You know, the path will be hard. It might be. It really isn't. It's not, well, it might get hard. No, it will be. I'll just tell you right now, I hate to burst the bubble, but if you're going to choose to live for Jesus, if you're going to choose to follow Christ in your life, you're going to go against the flow. The crowd's going the other way. Very rarely has the crowd been going the right way. Jesus said there's two roads when Jesus described it in Matthew 7. He says there's a broad road that leads to destruction and many are on that road. And he said there's a narrow way. Now certainly Christ is the only way. He is the narrow way. But you know what? If you choose to really do the will of God, you're also going to find yourselves alienated sometimes from other professing Christians. It's popular to be a Christian in the United States of America. To be a Christian, it's a nice label to wear. I love Jesus. Gives me peace and joy in my life. I love Jesus. But what about the discipleship? You know, there's a lot of people that liked Jesus' message. There's a lot of crowds that came to hear Jesus. But when Jesus began to talk about dying for Christ, taking up your cross, there were some people who just disappeared. In fact, there was a point recorded, I believe it's in about John 6, where everybody had gone away and it was just the 12 disciples. And Jesus said, "Will you go away also?" And Peter said, "To whom shall we go, Lord? You have the words of life." You know what? If you follow Christ in your life, you're going to find at times, certainly, that it's a lonely road. Now, he's with us. But you're going to find the crowd went the other way. In fact, Jesus said that if we follow Christ, notice it's in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll go over here to 2 Timothy in chapter 3, verse 12. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. The Bible says here, 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, it says, "Yea," that's yes, indeed, absolutely, affirmative. "Yea, and all who will live godly in Christ Jesus," next three words, read with me, "shall suffer persecution." Boy, you want to make that your life verse? Any graduate want to have that on their, on their invitation card? Not so much. But you know what? That's the way it is. There's going to be adversity. Because we're going against the flow. And you know what else? We're going against the foe. The foe. We have an enemy who seeks to destroy. He seeks to derail. And ultimately, to absolutely destroy your life and your testimony. So if we choose to follow Christ, we're going to be going against the foe. The Word of God calls him the God of this world, who blinds the eyes of men. There's a battle raging, a spiritual battle. There's a spiritual battle in our homes. There's a battle in marriages. There's battles. And we're not talking about flesh and blood. We're talking about spiritual battles. Are we going to serve God? Are we going to follow the Lord? Are we going to listen to His word? Are we going to, are our children going to love the Lord Jesus and serve Him with their life? We're going against the foe. But I also want you to observe that we're going against the flesh. My own flesh. You know what? My flesh doesn't want to serve God. My flesh. My old nature, the old man. He has lusts and desires that are sinful. And that's why God tells us to die to self. Take up our cross and follow Him. The flesh is certainly not something to be followed. It's something to be crucified. We need to follow Christ. And so, choosing to follow the Lord, we will face adversity. Are you willing to follow Christ? I'd like to go to 1 Peter chapter 3. The epistle of 1 Peter has a lot to say about suffering, actually. I believe every chapter has something to say about suffering. But 1 Peter chapter 3, I want you to notice verse 11. We'll begin there, 1 Peter 3 and verse 11. It says, "Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers." Isn't that a blessing? The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he, verse 13, and who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. What's the idea here? The idea is when we go through suffering, there is this hope that's evident in our life. Hope. Even in trial, even in very distressing and disastrous things, there's this overwhelming hope in God. And God says, people are going to ask you about that. How can you face such trials and yet have such hope, such trust, such joy in the Lord? And He says, be ready to answer people that will ask you why you have that hope. Verse 16, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, verse 17, if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. It's better to suffer for well-doing, if that be what God brings us to, brings us through. Are we willing to follow the Lord despite adversity? 1 Peter chapter 4, would you notice verse 12? 1 Peter 4, and now verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. God says here, facing trials, going through difficulties for Christ's sake, He says it's not unusual, it's not strange. Verse 13, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? And so God calls us here to be willing to suffer for Christ. If any man, verse 16, suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. You know, as we think back about 2,000 years, 1,950 years to the disciples, and God talking to them, encouraging them to continue, encouraging them in his commission to abide in his power, to recognize his presence, to go forth in holiness and love. We see God encouraging them, but you know what? They faced horrific adversity. Horrific adversity. 10 of the disciples died a martyr's death. Peter, history would record, crucified. But desiring not to be crucified in the same way which Jesus was, but rather upside down. For he said, I'm not worthy to die in the same way as my Lord did. Wow. They suffered. They suffered. Are you willing to take your cross? Your cross will probably not be, hopefully not, but God knows, not be a martyr's death. But are you willing to live a martyr's life? I don't mean as a bomber, like we're too familiar with. I mean willing to serve Christ regardless of the trial. Willing to live for God, to obey his will, to obey his voice. Life is short. It's worth it all to live for Jesus. Worth it all to live for Jesus. Quickly, continue drawing closer to the Lord. You know, I'm reminded that the Christian life isn't, it's not a religion. It's really not a religion. It's not just, you know, do this, don't do that kind of thing. This is how we do, you know, you've got to obey these rules, don't do this. Christianity is a relationship. God wants us to live in sweet fellowship with him. That is how we will have his power. That is how his presence will be really evident in our life. That is how we'll have holiness. Otherwise, it'll be self-promotion and pride. But if we have a close walk with the Lord, it'll be a humble holiness, a God-honoring holiness. And so we need to have that close walk with the Lord. Are you continuing to draw close to the Lord? It's not about saying, yes, Lord, okay, I got the commission and I'm going to go out. But we need to go with him. We need to walk in a relationship with him. That's why spending time with God daily is critical. Being in communication with God, being in his word, meditating. Because you know what? You nor I can do it without that close fellowship with God. We'll fail. We'll get derailed so quickly. And we lack the ability. But with God, we can. And lastly, he's coming again. Will we be faithful until he comes? Till he comes. Please go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 7. Acts chapter 1 and verse 7. Jesus said, Acts chapter 1, verse 7, "And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld him, he was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet. And the Bible goes on to describe how they served the Lord, how they taught many, how they followed Christ. And you know, he has gone. The risen Christ, as we continue in the light of the risen Christ, he has ascended back to heaven and is seated on the right hand of God. But you know what? He is coming again. He is coming again. Soon, he shall return. Will we be faithful? Will we be found faithful? Life is too short to waste. To waste on our desires, our lusts. God has given us life. He has given us eternal life if we've trusted Jesus as our Savior, so that we can serve him till he comes. Serve him today. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the risen Christ, our Savior, who defeated death, who took our sin upon himself, who provided the way of salvation. Lord, help us to recognize the great opportunity you've given us to follow you, to be a disciple, not just be saved, but to really be a disciple, to give our lives for you as you've called us to. Lord, help us to be willing to pay the price, be willing to take up our cross and follow. Help us to continue in the light of the risen Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.